Thank you. That was wonderful. I particularly liked the part at the beginning where I got to feel my lungs expanding and then sending out the blessings, each of us. Got the sense of our uniqueness and the oneness that we are. So, good morning. I'm Reverend Kathy DeLauder. And as Annie said earlier, Dave is away in Texas, I believe, at a international New Thought or
Interfaith,
yes. Yes, okay, so I have something I wish to share with you today. The topic is the meeting of the mind and the heart. And today we just had such an experience of heart with Dallas, with the reading, with the meditation, and then with the dancers. Thank you, all of you. How wonderful. So let me begin with a reading of a poem by Rumi, a 13th century Sufi mystic, who said, "Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there." So we are reminded that out beyond our thinking mind, beyond our need to judge what is right and wrong with others and ourselves, there is a field. And to me, a field implies expansiveness and openness. The field represents our true nature, that which is unlimited and free. Beyond the limited bounds of our minds and beyond our thinking and the stories we hold, we find our true nature, which is of light and peace and joy and freedom. I'd like to share with you another quote, this time from Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. This is one of my very, very favorite all-time books, and I bet many of you it's your favorite as well. And I would just like to read this quote. It says, "It is our own mind that causes our problems, not other people, not the world out there. It is our own mind with its nearly constant stream of thoughts, thinking about the past, worrying about the future. We make the great mistake of identifying with our mind, thinking that's who we are, when in fact, we are far greater beings. We are far greater beings." And as Dave Bell reminded us last week in his talk, remembering to remember, we've just forgotten who we are. We've forgotten that we are love and joy and peace. And it seems that if we can get the world to cooperate with our vision of how the world should look, that we would be happy. At least I do this. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but this I do. But as Eckhart says, it's not out there. The outside is only a reflection of the inner. And manipulating the world to conform to our picture of how things should be won't ever work. Because the problem isn't out there. The problem is with the thinking. Eckhart says, "You could be living in paradise, and soon you would say, 'Yeah, but.'" "Yeah, but the palm trees don't give me enough shade." Because to me, paradise is warm and sunny and palm trees. Your paradise, I'm sure, is different, but mine is palm trees. We are just so identified with our stories. It rarely occurs to us that we aren't our stories, that we are not our thoughts. We believe that we are this or that, or they should or they shouldn't. And we believe if we could just get the world to cooperate, we would be happy. And we have thoughts like, "I want my boss to appreciate me, or my husband to appreciate me, or my children should visit me more, and my friends and my kids should remember my birthdays." Some of those are personal examples, some are not. So when do we suffer? When we want things to be different than they are. When we insist that situations or people should be different than what is happening. When we are in the moment, in the present, just being, thoughts of past and future aren't there. We're too in the moment, feeling that deep peace that's inside of us. You can have chaos going on, but when you're in the moment, you're in that peace. We're so into that moment. There's just no room for thoughts. In the book Loving What Is by Byron Katie, who goes by Katie, she says, thinking isn't personal. We are just being thought, just like we are being breathed. She says, thoughts just appear. They come out of nothing and go back to nothing, like clouds moving across the empty sky. She says, do you wake up in the morning and say to yourself, I think I won't think today? It's too late. It's too late. You're already thinking. Our thoughts are just there. It's not personal. So we aren't our thoughts, but we believe we are. What if we were to question these thoughts that we so believe we are? Louise Hay, in her book, and I've had this book for 10 years at least, so when I saw this, I was surprised, but Louise Hay, in her book, You Can Heal Your Life, says, why do we so seldom sit down and ask ourselves, is that really true? When those thoughts come pouring in and they're stressful, we could ask, is that really true? And upon first glance, you might say, well, why should I ask that? I know what I believe is true. The ego doesn't like this at first. The ego is the part of us that spins the stories of who we are and how the world should be. And we hold our beliefs sacred, don't we? I do. They are our beliefs, and therefore they must be right and true, right? Don't we all think our way is the best way? And if we could only get them to see, then they would agree that we are right, and it's a better way. After all, we have built up our whole identity on a set of beliefs. But our freedom begins by asking if it's true. Freedom from the limiting and stressful thoughts. By just beginning to ask, is this true? You provide an opening and a space. You allow space around a stressful thought. And those stressful thoughts have a tendency to affect us in our body physically. You can find yourself getting tight. You ask, is this true? Sometimes there's a willingness to just allow a space. And in that space, you pause. And then you allow an answer to arise as you ask, is this true? You allow a meeting of the mind and the heart as the heart answers you. And then after asking, is it true? You could say, can I absolutely know that it's true? When you repeatedly ask and allow, is this true? You allow the deeper part of you to emerge. And there are no right or wrong answers. What's true for you is what's true. As it's your heart that's answering you. So if you say, is it true? The answer could be very well, yes. Is it absolutely true? Could be very well, yes. But we've been trying to change the world forever by looking to the outside. And as Eckhart says, it's not the world out there, but our mind that is the problem. The outer manifestation is only a reflection of the inner. And it may not seem like it because we're often unconscious to the ways that we ourselves can be mean and hurtful. So we tend to disown those and project it outwards onto others. Byron Katie has suffered herself from despair and overeating and a rage. And she suffered with this for 10 years. And one morning she woke up and it was all gone. It wasn't there anymore. Those thoughts weren't there. Instead, there was only joy and peace. And Katie came up with this simple process. She didn't devise it. It just came to her in those moments of peace, which she calls inquiry or the work, where you begin by asking, is it true? And can you absolutely know that it's true? When I have a stressful thought, which can be quite often, I now begin to ask, is this true? Can I absolutely know that it's true? For instance, a recurring theme is, I need more money for retirement. And I ask, is that true? Is that really, really true? Can I absolutely know that that's true? And upon first glance, my answer is yes. When I say, is it really, really, really true? Can I absolutely know that it's true? I close my eyes and I pause and I breathe and I just let that deeper part of me answer. Is that really, absolutely true? No, it's not. In this moment, this is the only moment I have. In this moment, that's out in the future. Those are thoughts of the future. That's not right now. Right now, everything's fine. If I put myself into the future, it could really cause myself a lot of stress, a lot of problems, just with that thinking mind. So this summer, I went to the Turnaround House. This is a place that Katie has. It's a 28 residential program. And what took me there was those stressful thoughts. Those thoughts had such a hold on me. I tell you, they were so strong. And I can tell you that I can stand up here and say, well, thoughts, you know, they're just impersonal. But when they have a hold on you, that just doesn't seem like enough, does it? So those thoughts really had a hold on me. So I went out there for 28 days. It was quite the experience. There I learned to question my thoughts every day, every morning, every afternoon. And I can tell you, questioning those sacred beliefs can feel like a challenge sometimes. What? I have to look at that and accept that I did that? But I didn't want to live in suffering anymore. So I questioned my beliefs, and I found some freedom. Oh yes, sure, there's more beliefs. But yes, I'm beginning to find freedom. And even at the end of those 28 days, I found a part of me that I didn't know was there. It's a peace that's peaceful. So I digress some, but I just began to question one belief at a time. And this idea of inquiry that Katie has fits precisely with current research into the biology of mind. So I'd like to read this to you. It's from Loving What Is by Byron Katie. And it's about how science has discovered some parts about the brain that fits into what we're talking about. So contemporary neuroscience identifies a particular part of the brain, sometimes called the interpreter, as the source of the familiar internal narrative that gives us our sense of self. Two prominent neuroscientists have recently characterized the quirky, undependable quality of the tale told by the interpreter. One neuroscientist describes it this way: perhaps the most important revelation is precisely this, that the left cerebral hemisphere of humans is prone to fabricating verbal narratives that do not necessarily accord with the truth. And another neuroscientist says, the left brain weaves its story in order to convince itself and you that it is in full control. And what is so adaptive about having what amounts to a spin doctor in the left brain? The interpreter is really trying to keep our personal story together. And to do that, we have to learn to lie to ourselves. These insights, based on solid experimental work, show that we tend to believe our own press releases. Often when we think we're being rational, we're being spun by our own thinking. The self-questioning process, Katie discovered, uses a different, less known capacity of the mind to find a way out of its self-made trap. And what I have found about doing the work is that I can really hear the small, still voice much clearer. And even in those moments when I am stressed and I am questioning, I still feel like I'm being guided. So there's, as you allow that deeper part of you to answer those questions, it becomes your friend. And it's guiding you. You're not alone. And meditation helps me, but it wasn't getting to those stories that were causing me suffering. So this has been a real benefit for me. I went to Florida last week, drove myself there and back, got to experience a lot of stressful thoughts then, especially when there was an accident. And I just, the whole trip was sort of like accepting what is in the moment, not necessarily as the whole big package, but I'm winning that moment. What else am I going to do? There's an accident on the road. You deal with it. Today there were no bulletins. You deal with it. And actually, you turn out it's not that important, is it? You're in the moment. You're in fine. So I went to Florida and didn't know I was going to be doing this, but I actually held a workshop on the work. It just kind of happened. That's another story. But anyway, I was partnered with a young lady, to me young, she's around 40, and she was experiencing some very stressful thoughts. She was upset because her husband wasn't working, and she felt like he should work. And prior to this, she had been working at a job that she really liked. She was divorced, she had a couple kids, and she's very happy, and she really liked her job. But since she got married, she was really unhappy because her husband wasn't working. So we did the work and we asked, is that really true? And can you absolutely really know that that's true? And then I think when we got to the part, when did this first occur to you? She realized that it started, you know, like with this marriage, and prior to that, she didn't have these thoughts. She says, I've been holding on to this since I've been married almost. And she let go of it. And the joy in her face, the freedom that came from that is just extraordinary. She's only one example of how this is played out. That's probably Dave saying the bulletins are. We love you, Dave. Okay. So I have many more examples and please see me afterwards if you want to hear more. There are just so many, and I've had so many myself. So incredible moments, aha moments where you really thought something was true, and boy, if you just question it, it's just, I love it. Okay. So I know it's real easy to dismiss this as being really simple, but that's actually the beauty of it, because it is so simple. If you think about it, kids can do it. Anyone from any spiritual background, because you'd need none, no spiritual background. Anyone, you know, so Katie takes this into prisons, she takes it everywhere. And it's just, to me, it's a godsend. So, you know, people of all ages, old, young, you know, no matter what your background, you can move into truth. And I'm sure almost all of us have some stressful thoughts. So are you ready to find the truth? Are you ready to find the truth in your own peace? Yeah. Are you ready to have an opportunity to experience the meeting of the mind and the heart? So I invite you right now to think of a time, maybe today, this week, this past week, where you felt stress. You know, it could be as simple as, I want it to be warm. You know, what comes to my mind lots of times, stress. Holidays, vacations. Holidays are supposed to be good, aren't they? It's supposed to be all fun. Same with holidays. And yet, especially in holidays, we want people or family to do things they don't always do or be a certain way. They aren't always that way. Vacations, if you're traveling, who knows? You may not fly out that day. So think of a thought that was causing you stress. Let one come to mind. And ask yourself, is it true? And now, can you absolutely know that that's true? And now there's a couple other questions that Katie invites you to ask. How do you react when you think that thought? Does that bring you stress or peace? And now, who would you be without that thought? And I really invite you, if your eyes are not closed, to just close them and then just drop your story just for a second and invite that deeper part of you to answer the question, who would you be without that thought? Sitting in this room, listening to my voice, your feet on the floor. In this moment, no past, no future, you couldn't think the thought. Who would you be without that thought? So now, just breathe and come back to the room, this present. Answers that often come up are, I don't know who I would be without that thought. And that's an opening. Others feel peace or sense of freedom. For myself, often it's like, I notice all of a sudden I can breathe again. I wasn't breathing with that stressful thought. It was constricted. Sometimes laughter comes up. You go, oh my God, I held onto that idea for so long, 10, 20, 30 years. I don't need it anymore. Katie says there's nothing more exciting than discovering the don't know mind. You don't have all the answers. You don't know. You're living in, I don't know, and it's okay. It's okay. She says it's like diving. You just keep asking the questions and wait. And I have found, and Katie has said herself, that sometimes these answers don't come up for a while. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not for a couple weeks. But when the true answer comes up from deep within inside of you, there's a sense of freedom. There's a true meeting of the heart and mind. When the mind asks sincerely, the heart will respond. And my favorite of all quotes, ask and you shall receive. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. If it is your intention to go beyond stories and to let go of that stress, ask, is it true? And nothing outside of you can ever give you what you're seeking. Peace is who you are. It's not something you do or try to get to. Peace is who you are. As you drop the stories by inquiring, there you are, right there with the peace of you. And the happiness you seek is inside you. The guru you have been waiting for is you. So I don't let go of my thoughts. I meet them with understanding, and then they let go of me. out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing. There is a field. I'll meet you there. Thank you for this opportunity to share something that's really dear to my heart, as you can tell. And this concludes my talk. So, thank you.